Welcome to Shaping E-Commerce with Iron Plane. This is where we talk about e-commerce development, solutions, digital marketing, and all things e-commerce. Be sure to check out the description below each video to find additional resource links and show notes. We upload new videos each day. Please like and subscribe to our channel. In this episode of our e-commerce tech series, our team discusses UX implementation. They detail various elements of the UX implementation phase and stress the importance of ongoing client engagement and the continued optimization of the user experience.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome back. And this is the last segment of our user experience and conversion rate optimization discussion. We've already talked about the research portion of the project. We've talked about the design portion of the project. And now we're going to talk a little bit about the implementation and kind of the ongoing engagement that we have with our clients to ensure, I guess, optimization of the user experience. So let's see, Clara, if you want to lead us off in the implementation phase and then see where we go from here.
I mean, so at a high level, really, once we have delivered those wireframes or a prototype to our clients, so basically the skeleton or the outline of the whole website, along with, of course, solutions like the information architecture maybe, or even some content strategy or other things like this, it really comes then down to the UI designer to actually create the final, what we call pixel perfect version that our developers can take and implement into the final solution. So by implementation, I guess there are two meanings here in the context of our work, but also in the context of CRO, which is that on the one hand, there is the implementation of the solution. So creating the website, creating the app, adding this feature, launching it and seeing how that develops. And then there's also the implementation of your experiment. So like we mentioned before, when you set out to do some conversion rate optimization, you have a question at the beginning and you need an answer and you need to implement maybe some kind of experiment or monitoring or tracking to see how that result comes out with the new solution, with the new idea or change or improvement. So generally speaking, that's what implementation could cover. And there are, of course, a lot of smaller activities within that, like how we hand off to developers, how we design, keeping, you know, the client involved throughout every stage and making sure they're seeing the feedback throughout the process.
And Jared, in your experience, kind of working with clients, what are the important factors of, you know, the implementation phase from a project management point of view and kind of client engagement point of view, not only for implementation, but even beyond?
You know, honestly, some of the biggest factors that we run into are just fitting in, you know, fitting in the any updates that we talk about in a UX, you know, phase in along with a business's like existing priorities. So, you know, because like I said before, you know, every client that comes to us has a list of tasks that they already want to work on. So it's really just a matter of having an open discussion with them and saying, here's how we think, you know, this, you know, UX adjustment is going to benefit in relation to your other priorities, and you just kind of fit it in, you know, factoring in whatever else the client has going on. You know, some changes require a lot more, you know, admin side work, or maybe are going to lead to more customer service calls, things like that. So it's really just balancing with their priorities and their capacity.
And one of the things that Danuta, you mentioned was the idea that, The benefits of UX might extend beyond just like this idea of conversion rate. I think you mentioned kind of the experiential side of it in terms of customer service. And And I mentioned, you know, the whole concept of a return process. Those are also, and I guess what I'm wondering is, you know, we also touched on measurement. So in the implementation phase, how do we handle the kind of measurement and adjustment and remeasure as we go through evaluating this new UX that we're implementing?
Yeah, so during implementation, we should add special code from Hotjar, Google Analytics, or UXCAM to collect events and collect data about users, and then we can analyze. So it's best to have this also before redesign, to have this opportunity to compare these values at the end of our process. And also, I think we didn't mention that, for example, when we do A/B testing, it's best to run only one test at the same time, because then it's really hard to know what affect this improvement or of conversion. And if we have only one test, then we will know, we'll be sure, okay, this one improved this, so we should implement this change.
Yeah, and A/B testing, it's interesting. I know that there's a, you know, a lot of conversations and a lot of people know about the concept of A/B testing. What I always struggle with sometimes is that in order for, and I don't know what your opinion is, but in order for an A/B test to be statistically significant, you have to have a certain volume, really, in order to make it, you know, really a valuable piece of data to act on. You know, if you've got 100 people interacting with a website over a month, you know, that's not a substantial amount of data you have. But if you have, you know, 20,000 people interacting, then you've got a lot of data there. Is that accurate? Am I right with that? Or is that, you know, A/B test is still valid in any of those scenarios?
No, you are right. You can find online some calculators, then you can calculate if A/B testing is good for you or no, based on numbers of users. But I think what's important with A/B testing, it's better to do first UX audit, a lot of different methods, and A/B testing is the last one. It's more like for small improvements. So, for example, your team is not sure which option will be better or which CTA will be better. Shop now or, I don't know, add to cart. And you, or which color, green or yellow. And then you can use A/B testing to make these small improvements and small decisions. It's not like, okay, now we have a totally different homepage and we will try to do compare this with A/B testing, because we will not be sure which element of this homepage convert better. Yeah, so it's only for small changes when you really know your product and your audience and your goals.
Yeah, just to follow up on what you just said, it's A/B testing isn't a catch-all that serves every single goal. It really is for optimizing or refining a working design. It can't uncover some user frustration or usability issue. It just won't be able to tell you, you know, why someone is, you know, failing to complete this task. It's really just for the final refinement and optimization.
And when we think about, you know, when you think about a page that you want someone to convert on, like a product detail page, for example, or even a homepage, there are just so many elements to consider. And I guess what I would struggle with as a client is, you know, are there kind of the best practices, like the top six elements that can influence conversion rate? And maybe like for example, a button. Like, is there a best practice for like button size, button dimensions, like rounded corners, you know, color, font size, contrast rate? Like, is this all just kind of out there and we just need to implement what the best practices are, or is it totally variable based on the individual client?
I think it's a mix of both. For sure, we have some rules, like we know like buttons should be at least 48 pixels. It can be slightly bigger. About colors, we know about the psychology of colors, how different colors affect users. And yeah, I think we didn't mention this, but user experience is based on psychology, cognitive psychology. Is understanding how people see, think, how people convert some informations. So UX rules are really based on psychology, and it's also referred to colors, also referred to a lot of different aspects of design. So for sure, we have a lot of guidelines. We have a lot of already done research. We are using reports from Baymart Institute based on e-commerce in the United States. But it's not enough. It's not enough because each business is different, as we already mentioned, have different users, different needs. So we should, of course, first apply this basic guidelines and then do something more.
Just to add on to what Danuta said, I think she's right in that it really is a mix, and it almost touches three topics, being accessibility as well, like the button size, the colors, the contrast and everything. But also, like she mentioned, the obviously there are business best practices, there are industry benchmarks that we all look to. But as she mentioned, you know, every customer is different, but also every business is selling a different product. So the techniques used to optimize a homepage for, you know, a website selling something simple like food products or small accessories versus, you know, a website selling computers or cars or vacuum cleaners, you know, they depend on a lot more. The process of buying these products is very different. You're going to spend a lot more time on one page. You're going to care maybe more about price and less about price on something else, you know. So as soon as your priorities change, you know, one website best industry website might not work for a second product just because the buying process, the purchasing journey is so different.
And I think you know, kind of tying that in with A/B testing, I think it's really easy to fall into to get too excited about, you know, something you read online. So you might read something online, you know, top 10 UX best practices. You might go and you say, okay, with this, you know, number one, I'm going to A/B test this because this site said it's the best thing. You know, it might be a good best practice for many industries, but it might not be, you know, for yours. And I think a lot of people will, you know, what I've historically seen, just get excited about the idea of A/B testing and the idea of UX and then take a stab at it themselves and, you know, just factor in one or two aspects of the whole experience. And yeah, I mean, like we kind of said earlier, if they don't understand, you know, testing as well as they should, or their audience as well as they should, they might have 100 users run through and run an A/B test and get a great result and say, okay, I'm going to make that change permanent. But they just made a change that applies, you know, really well for people, 100 people at Tuesday at 3 a.m., you know, like, so yeah, it's a combination for sure.
That's interesting. I mean, we see that a lot, I guess, in terms of product selection and, you know, SEO or, you know, digital marketing efforts. It's kind of the newest trendy ideas kind of win the day. But in my experience, not all of those new and trendy ideas are really applicable or even helpful to every client, especially when they don't have the core down pat. Like they're focused on like, oh, this new shiny cool thing that I want to implement on my site that'll really set us apart. But, you know, like their conversion rate is so low.
And your users are struggling to check out. So
yeah, right. Everyone's struggling during checkout. Yeah. So it's really what I like about the whole idea of UX is that it really is foundational for the e-commerce experience. And I feel like if you're able to really nail the UX portion of your website in e-commerce, then you can really focus on your product and really focus on the services that you provide. So any other thoughts about implementation or kind of ongoing care and feeding of a website in terms of UX?
I mean, I think what you mentioned was pretty accurate. Like, it's easy to lose track. You know, maybe once you've implemented something new, you might think, oh, now I want to add more things and add new features because I saw something on a different website. And it's easy to lose sight of the basics, like you mentioned. Like, just stick to the basics. Are your users happy? Are they staying on your website? Are they engaged? Are they able to check out smoothly? You know, and like I said in the previous video, like, conversion rate isn't everything. If you can nail these basics, your conversion rate will follow. It's kind of a natural funnel. So it's might be an indirect impact in the end, but really if you focus on the basics and work to optimize those, the rest will follow.
And is there a kind of recommendation for ongoing upkeep or maintenance? Or, you know, is it more just like when the client really does want to refresh the look and feel of their website, then they should definitely have a UX person? Or is it like every quarter a UX person should kind of touch base and do a quick review of the site?
Yeah, so I think and I believe in continuous improvement, like monitoring analytics tools, looking at competitors, because market is changing really fast. Users also can change their needs or their expectations. I think right now user expectations are just higher and higher. So this site should follow this needs and these expectations. That's why we are offering to our clients, like, we will monitor their site every 2 months or every 3 months and spend some time on it and propose some improvements, because it's easier to do it this way than do something, do great page, and after 2 years thinking about redesign without any knowledge about users and about what's working well and what's working not so well. Clara, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think it has to be, you know, UX is more than just, you know, coming in, doing an audit and stepping out. It's really changing or adjusting your whole mindset or attitude to your business, you know, by prioritizing the customer. All these activities like checking in, you know, monitoring and, you know, getting feedback from your users and this continuous improvement, it's what you do if your company is or business is focused towards prioritizing the customer goals, the customer frustrations and the customer needs. So I think if you're ready for that kind of attitude shift or paradigm shift in your company, then the rest will be easy. And I think, like Danuta said, it will save money and time, because in the long run, you're gathering more data and more information, which means every change and every further improvement becomes less risky.
Okay. Well, that's great. I like this. I like UX. I think it's important. Hopefully, you know, this series of videos is helpful to folks who are interested in UX. That concludes the implementation conversation for our user experience video sessions. I do have one question that I'm curious to hear from your point of view. If you were to give, you know, one or two key pieces of advice to a business who says, okay, you know, I want to get involved in UX. I want to, you know, I've got an existing e-commerce website and I know I need to do something with UX. I don't really know what, but give me your kind of one or two things that I need to do you know, more than any other things, I guess, that just kind of couple of key elements that maybe you'd recommend to them.
I will recommend to them to ask someone, like even can be a friend, to perform a few tasks on this page. Like, for example, most typical task for e-commerce, please find specific product, this kind of shoes, and add this to your cart and select this specific payment method and this specific delivery method. And just to observe how this person is going step by step. And if you can notice any issues, because what I think is the biggest problem with business owners, that they think they know their product and they know how to find something. And they are sometimes really surprised when someone has some problems with, for example, using filters or selecting delivery method or even creating an account. And then it can help them realize that their shop is not perfect and they need some improvements. And then they can do it by themselves or they can contact us.
Yeah. Clara, what do you think? I love that suggestion because it's
easy.
Completely in their control. It's easy. Yeah. It's easy. And they could learn a lot.
Yeah. At your website, see how she interacts with it. So, yeah, I think that's possibly the best way to just start understanding what the process is. You know, it's basically what we are doing. We are just looking at customers, seeing where they get into roadblocks, where they are having problems with the site, and where the site could be improved. So, to add a second point or any second tip, I guess, just to start collecting any information you have about your customers. A lot of businesses have a big customer services department or they have a customer services rep. Start tracking what are customers calling about. You know, what is the most common reported issue? Is it related to the website or is it related to something else? This is all part of the user experience. It doesn't have to be limited to the website. It could be something in their actual product. It could be a problem with the shipping method even, and maybe that's something they have to adjust or adapt to. So just start to get to know your customer really well. And once you have that information, you know, take it to any UX specialist or UX researcher or designer, and it will be invaluable to them.
Yeah, I've you know, just in working with clients, customer service teams have been some of the most helpful folks in terms of identifying UX issues, just because, you know, people in our industry, site owners and admins are constantly on their sites, working in their sites. They know the flows. So yeah, it often takes a few customers calling in and complaining about something for it eventually to click to somebody who's on the site all the time that these customers aren't going through it the same way. So yeah, just listening to that feedback's been super valuable in the past.
Yeah, and I think you know, just to kind of marry that, I think that is actually something that maybe people don't necessarily think of as a core resource for informing their UX. I think it's maybe more common, and I just want to call it out because I do think that there is value, is staying on top of your analytics data and understanding not necessarily like a blip, but really the trend line. Because if you are seeing your bounce rate, for example, or time on site, bounce rate is increasing, time on site is dropping off, conversion rate is dropping off, average order value is dropping off. Like, there are data points, but I guess you want to pay attention to them, but not in a very short window of time. Like, of course, if your conversion rate drops to zero for 3 days in a row, yeah, definitely look into it. But it really should be a trend line that you're tracking. And over, you know, a significant period of time, whether it's 3 months or so, really starting to see where your trend is going. And if you're trending in the wrong direction, then it's definitely worth starting to do that research. So you might use analytics as kind of a a stimulus, like a little flag saying, you know, yellow flag, red flag, you know, time to really focus in on what's going wrong on your site, talk to your customer service people, and hire a UX specialist.
Yeah, definitely. And I would say one other thing I just thought about when thinking about what a business owner could start doing or e-commerce manager is, you know, they've already spent probably a lot of money and time on marketing, on branding. They have customer segments already. They have market research. They have competitors. They know who their competitors are. They probably have, they have a business model. They have a customer value proposition. So start, you know, collecting that information, start defining your business goals, because even though it might not on the surface relate exactly to a user experience issue, the whole aim of user experience issue is to begin marrying those customer needs with your business objectives. You know, we never work in isolation thinking only about the customer. Obviously, you know, this, we are working for, we are partnering with a business. So, you know, they obviously have some objectives to reach as well. So setting that target and more clearly defining that target also helps us as UX designers to say, okay, so this is the area we need to focus on. And that saves time too.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for sharing your insights on user experience and conversion rate optimization. I think that these will be very useful videos, hopefully, for some folks who are looking to improve their UX. And we'll have links to various tools in the notes for these videos, and as well a link if you'd like to reach out and talk to Iron Plane about any of your UX needs. So thank you, Clara, Danuta, and Jared, for participating very much. And we'll look forward to another conversation in the future.
Thank you.
Take care.
For more insights on how to improve your e-commerce website and for a free consultation, visit ironplane.com. Follow us on social media and like and subscribe below.